Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, I suspect that you have noticed, as well as I have, that we spend a good deal of our days simply waiting. And waiting seems to be a fact of human existence, even in societies that have been known for their rush of life, for their activity. And while we wait, time seems to take on a different quality. Sometimes it seems to stand still. As we wait, drumming our fingers on the arm of our chair, sometimes it creeps along, or sometimes it passes too quickly. It all depends on that for which we are waiting. If we're waiting for someone to arrive or something to begin, it depends on who we are expecting to come and what we are expecting to happen. If it is good, if it is going to be a wonderful experience, impatience marks our waiting. We can hardly wait for the event to begin. But if it is something difficult or onerous or even painful, the waiting is marked by dread. As I thought of the quality of waiting, I thought of something that I had experienced in an airport. In fact, over the past many years, I have seen many airports inside and out. And it was like waiting in an airport for someone to arrive. Now, a number of these memories occur to me from a time when our airport security was certainly not as tight as it is now. It was a time when you could actually wait for someone at the gate. You could see the plane pulling in and the passengers disgorging themselves from the airplane. And while I sat there awaiting for someone to arrive, there was a kind of eagerness in the waiting. Because you are waiting for the arrival of someone whom you wish to see again, or may not have seen for a very long time, or perhaps for someone you are going to greet for the first time. Asking yourself, will I recognize the person? Who is that person? How will he react? And it seemed interesting that as I would arrive at the airport, there were many times that departures were always posted. But how infrequently did the airlines post the arrival times? I remember asking one of the attendants why this may be true, and the response was, well, arrival times are your guess as good as any. And it was interesting because it added a certain quality to the waiting. You suspect that you know the time, but in fact you have to adjust to whatever arrives. And while you are waiting for someone to arrive, often with eagerness, sometimes with anticipation, sometimes with questions, what do you do with the time that you are waiting? Is it simply lost to us? Do we try to ignore the passage of time? There was something that over a period in which, in fact, I was in and out of airports, I learned how to do. And that is, as you sit waiting, you have to shut out the attendant noise, which is quite significant in an airport. And by shutting that out, achieving a kind of quiet, a disposition of the mind and heart, that I began to fill by reading. Reading those things that inevitably open up a different world for you, allowing you often to fill the time that is used in waiting with some profit, learning something new, expanding a sense of the world about you. And this kind of activity, although it, of course, arises from sitting quietly and concentrating on a particular idea that arises from your reading or a particular world that is opening up to you, this often moves the time along. So that although it didn't do anything to ease off the eagerness or sometimes the impatience, it did allow you to realize that even at that moment, that time can be used to advantage, and it can deepen something within us. Now, all of this leads me to consider the season that we are beginning this weekend with the first Sunday of Advent. This year, because Christmas falls on a Monday, Advent will be the shortest it can possibly be. It'll be just 3 weeks and a day. It's interesting that this immediately follows upon last year's Advent, which was the longest we can have because Christmas at that time fell on a Sunday. Advent this year may be short, but it is still extremely important. It is a wonderful season. The Church has given us this, that we might consider the meaning of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we might realize how, in fact, this coming into our world of the Lord Jesus Christ was the turning point of all history. But during this marvelous season, which is often, unfortunately, swamped by the activity of secular life around us, we are, in a sense, waiting for an arrival. The word Advent means arrival. And in that period of waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, for the presence of Jesus Christ, we remember how, in fact, before the birth of Jesus Christ, the Israelites waited, sometimes impatiently, sometimes eagerly, for the coming of the Messiah that had been promised by the holy prophets. A Messiah who would bring about a kingdom of justice and peace. A Messiah that would fulfill all of the hopes of God's people. Now, in remembering this aspect of the history of our Jewish ancestors, we realize that they have given us an example of how to wait for the arrival of the Lord. For Christians during this season of Advent, really wait for two things. One, usually we wait for the beginning of the Christmas season. We obviously wait with great anticipation and expectation, some quiet joy. But theologically, during Advent, Christians are reminded that we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are waiting for that second coming just as eagerly as the prophets awaited the coming of the Messiah. We understand that in Jesus Christ, the prophecies have been fulfilled, that, in fact, Christ, although ascended to his heavenly Father, is still present to us in many ways, and in particularly in the words of sacred scripture and in the holy sacraments. But we realize that the kingdom that was brought into being by the presence of Jesus in our history is a kingdom yet to be fulfilled. And that fulfillment will come when our Lord arrives the second time to bring all history to its end and its meaning, and will establish forever his kingdom of that peace and light and truth and joy. Like waiting in the airport for someone and trying to find out a time of arrival, your guess is as good as mine. Our Lord specifically tells us that we will not know the day or the hour. But not knowing that, we should always be prepared. And the question becomes, how do we work with that time as we wait for the arrival? How do we make it profitable? And in that waiting time, as Advent calls us to do, we become more deeply involved in the presence of Christ already among us. We bring to mind again and again the words that he spoke to us, the commandments that he gave us. And as he taught us how to wait profitably, we deepen that reality and at the same time encourage our eagerness and expectation of his arrival. We know that waiting for that arrival, we wait for the most profound good of all, the establishment of that kingdom of Christ. The arrival is to be filled with eagerness and expectation because of the joy that will be ours. But often, in that expectation, we may be subject to the fault of impatience, wishing it to be rushed. We do cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." But we have to remember that when we say, "Come, Lord Jesus," we say, "Come at the time that you have appointed. Come at the time of the fullness of the reality of God's love for us." So we encourage in this Advent a virtue of patience, of a willingly attitude to wait, but in waiting not to create simply an empty space, but to wait with expectation, to wait with concern, and to wait with knowledge, so that when our Lord arrives, we will recognize him. So, my dear friends, as we begin the celebration of Advent, I would ask that we fill this time of waiting by meditating on the manner of the first coming of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and in understanding that first coming, how it occurred, in what kind of setting, who recognized it, allows us to make preparation for greeting the arrival of Christ his second time. So let me suggest a couple of ways by which we might spend this Advent fruitfully. In waiting, but in an almost childlike excitement that we probably all once felt waiting for Christmas Day. But in that excitement and expectation, we do it with prayer, with meditation, and with watchfulness. We pray in thanksgiving for the gift of Christ who came first for us at Christmas. We pray for a heart and mind that is open to his constant presence among us. And we pray also that we might be prepared when he does arrive, and we will say, "Welcome, Lord Jesus." We meditate upon those things that our Lord has taught us about how to be a true disciple. And in being a true disciple, how to watch with ears and eyes open. for in opening our ears and our eyes, we will be able to recognize the Lord as he stands before us in all his glory. And we will be at peace.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.